This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
Joining me now is Jessica Gallagher, clinical director of the Uplift Project, a Donegal-based organisation supporting women affected by domestic abuse, coercive control, sexual violence, addiction, social isolation, anxiety, and depression. Jessica's work focuses on building community-based supports that helps women feel safe, connected and empowered. She joins us at a time when the government has approved the publication of Jenny's Law, legislation that would create a public register of those convicted of domestic violence with the consent of victims. Jessica, thank you so much for joining me on the show. First off, can you start by telling us about the Uplift Project and the women that you support?
So the Uplift Project is a new approach of working with women and children who have experienced domestic violence. So we saw that there was a gap in services. Traditional DV services, they focus on crisis response. So emergency accommodation, crisis intervention, safety planning, going to court, all of those things. But a lot of times the real work starts after that. And so that's really where we decided to come together and make this program.
What are some of the most common challenges facing women then who do come through your doors?
So some of the biggest challenges they face are really with their self-esteem, confidence, social isolation. All of those are really, those are prominent in all of the women that we see. And we work with women from so many different backgrounds, all different ages. So our aim is to build up their confidence and encourage them learning new skills, getting new experiences, which will naturally then improve their confidence and focus on their long-term recovery.
Tell me about domestic abuse, as we know, isn't always physical. How can people who might be listening to you this evening and even coming across the Uplift Project, how can they recognize the signs of coercive control and emotional abuse?
So that's true. Domestic abuse isn't always physical. And actually 93% of our current clients report that coercive control has occurred in their relationships, which makes that really in the majority of what people are experiencing. So domestic abuse in general is about control and having power over someone else. So sometimes that's power is through, physical assaults, but other times it's just the threat of violence or the threat against the children being removed, the children being taken into care, all of those types of things. So one of the biggest challenges that we can see with coercive control is that it doesn't always look like what people expect it to. There's no physical injuries. There could be no shouting. There could be no obvious threats. From the outside, people could think this is a completely normal relationship. But coercive control is a pattern of behaviors, and that's designed to, to dominate, to intimidate, to isolate and control the victim. So usually this isn't just one act, right? So coercive control is all about the cumulative impact of all of these behaviors over a period of time. So some of those, signs that you could be looking out for, your partner's monitoring phone calls, messages, your social media, are they controlling your finances? Is someone being isolated from their family and friends? Are they constantly being criticized? Trying to find out where they are, who they're with, what time are they going to be home? Just creating that environment where the person feels that they have to work on eggshells in order to avoid any conflict. So if a person was, not sure, they can ask themselves, do they feel free? Do they feel free to see their friends, to spend their own money, to express their opinions? Do they feel like they can make decisions about their own lives? And if the answer is consistently no, and that's due to fear, intimidation, or consequences that they fear, that's a major warning sign.
Tell me about social isolation. I know it's a major issue for women, many women that you would probably come across. How much of an impact can loneliness have on someone's well-being in these contexts?
Realistically, I think that would be the primary reason that women find it difficult to reach out and access help. The fear and the isolation. They will have been with a perpetrator that is ensured that they feel they have no one else to turn to. And there's a very real fear then of what happens next. Where do they live? How will they support their children? What's going to happen in court? Will anybody believe me? So all of those things really contribute greatly to the woman feeling like she has nowhere else to go. And we need to move from why don't they leave to what barriers are there that are preventing her from leaving safely, and how can we help remove those barriers? So that's what we try and do with the Uplift Project, is remove those barriers.
to look at something that's actually been in the news this week. Just this week, the government approved the Domestic Violence Judgments Register Bill, which is known as Jenny's Law, in honour of Jennifer Poole, who was murdered by her ex in 2021. This law would create a public register of people convicted of domestic violence. What was your reaction to that news?
Well, Jenny's Law is obviously a very welcome addition to the domestic abuse legislation. Any system that spells out that there's going to be consequences is a positive step forward. However, it does have some limitations. You know, the perpetrator has to be convicted, and that requires that the first offense and the victim have to take it through the court system. In reality, by the time the perpetrator is actually on the register, they will likely have committed multiple offenses with multiple different women. You know, so it's a really good step, and it's a move in the right direction. But from a survivor's perspective, many of the women tell us that one of their greatest frustrations is feeling the responsibility of safety falling, you know, on them. They're expected to leave. They're expected to relocate. They're expected to change their routines, alter their lives, and constantly risk assess. So any measure that shifts, you know, greater accountability onto those who perpetrate is worthy of consideration. You know, it's a positive step. But domestic abuse is a complex social issue. You know, we need strong legislation, effective policing, you know, actual criminal justice responses and meaningful accountability for the perpetrators. But we also need, you know, work with prevention, education, early intervention, you know, housing supports. You know, so there's a lot of work to do. So we welcome any initiative that really seeks to improve victim safety and increase accountability. But I think that, you know, the broader question would be, how do we build a system that not only responds to the domestic abuse after it happens, but how do we actively prevent it from occurring in the first place?
It seems to be such a massive topic and issue in Ireland. And then this, albeit a welcome step, is quite small. I suppose that is worth remembering. The proposed legislation, though, it would require a victim's consent before a name is published. How important is it that survivors remain in control of decisions like that?
It's absolutely essential. You know, one of the defining features of domestic abuse and coercive control in particular is the loss of autonomy. You know, so they've spent months, years having decisions made for them, being monitored, being controlled, intimidated, having their choices restricted. So recovery in a lot of ways is about reclaiming that autonomy. And that's why survivor choice and consent must be at the center of any response. Because what feels empowering for one woman and one survivor and protective for them might not feel the same for another. So consent is absolutely essential.
From what you're hearing from women that come to you in the Uplift Project, do you survivors feel adequately supported by the justice system in Ireland right now?
So if I'm honest, the answer would be no. That doesn't mean that there's not dedicated professionals that are working within the justice system who absolutely want to help, and that desire to help is genuine. You know, we see examples of excellent practice every day from the Gardaí, from solicitors, barristers, judges, court staff, you know, all of these organizations. But when we actually listen to the survivors, the recurring themes suggest that the system is still not consistently meeting their needs. They describe the justice system as very overwhelming, lengthy, re-traumatizing. They have to share their story to multiple people across multiple settings, and that's very intimidating. You know, we hear about the delays, the inconsistent responses, the challenges of navigating family law after separation. You know, and for most of these survivors, the abuse isn't ending when the relationship ends. So there's quite a lot of work to do. And the measure of any justice system really should be whether survivors feel protected, respected, and empowered. Right now, the stories are telling us that we're not quite there yet. But there's always an opportunity to continue improving and building the system that better reflects the lived experiences of the survivors.
What role does community support play in helping women rebuild confidence and move forward after trauma that's been experienced, as well as the trauma that can also come from having to go through the justice system and, as you said there, rehash your story a million times?
Hi, so at the Uplift Project, we believe the community support is absolutely vital. you know, like we've talked about, recovery, it doesn't happen in isolation. You know, one of the most damaging aspects of domestic abuse and coercive control in particular is that it often disconnects the women from the very things that help everyone thrive as a human being. You know, relationships, community, confidence, purpose, a sense of belonging, all of that's taken away in an abusive relationship. So we're incredibly fortunate to be surrounded here in Donegal by a community that really understands the importance of the work that we're doing. You know, the Donegal News has been phenomenal. They've been highlighting, you know, domestic abuse and bringing it to the front pages. We have, you know, just a huge amount of community support, different community organizations, yoga studios, art therapists, equine therapists that have all offered their services for free to our groups, to our women. So, you know, social media and the media in general play such an important role in shaping conversations and challenging stigma and ensuring that survivor experiences are seen and heard. So recovery in itself is not something that one organization can deliver alone. You know, it takes a community. And when the community comes together to support survivors and truly listen to what they have to say, the impact can be absolutely transformative. You know, they move from isolation to connection, from surviving to thriving and feeling alone to knowing that now they have somewhere to belong.
If someone's listening to you this evening talk about the Uplift Project and everything you've shared so far, what would the first step be for them if they are experiencing something like domestic abuse or anxiety or addiction or isolation? What would you encourage them to do?
Well, I think the important thing to know is that you don't have to have everything figured out before you reach out for support. A common misconception between, you know, survivors is that they think they have to be ready to leave when they make the call. They have to be ready to file a police report. They have to be ready to go through their entire story before they can actually ask for help. And that's just not true. You know, you can reach out to one person just to let them know what's going on. That could be a friend, a family member, your GP, support worker, a community organization like us, anybody. And that's your first step. So that can be the most terrifying first step because, you know, you could feel that you're already on your own, that nobody's going to believe you. And that's what you've been conditioned to believe. But support is available and you don't have to carry this alone. And this is the same, you know, it's the same for addiction, anxiety, loneliness, any other challenges, recovery. You know, it doesn't begin with just one huge decision. It's a series of small steps that lead you to that big decision. So you're not alone and things can get better.
Where can we find the Uplift Project online if people are interested to look into it?
So we are on Facebook and Instagram. It's just the Uplift Project. And then our website is www.theupliftproject.ie. And then you can call, text or WhatsApp to 087-444-4645.
Jessica, thank you so much for sharing all of that with us this evening on iRadio's group chat.
Hey, thank you very much.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.